So we shall read one verse from the Bhagavad Gita, which gives very important information for the guidance of our lives, and which also points to the importance of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, whose appearance we shall celebrate on Saturday. We read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, Chapter 3, Karma Yoga, Text 10. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sahayagya prajashristva purovacha prajapati anena pravashisyadvam eshavo stivkam aduk. Please repeat. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods. Along with sacrifices for Vishnu. And bless them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna. Sacrifice. Because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The material creation by the Lord of creatures, Vishnu, is a chance offered to the conditioned souls to come back home, back to Godhead. All living entities within the material creation are conditioned by material nature because of their forgetfulness of their relationship to Vishnu or Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vedic principles are to help us understand this eternal relation. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vaidaish cha sarvair aham eva vedya. The Lord says that the purpose of the Vedas is to understand Him. In the Vedic hymns it is said, Patim Vishvasya Aishwaram. Therefore, the Lord of the living entities is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. In Srimad Bhagavatam also, 2.4.20, Srila Sukadeva Goswami describes the Lord as Pati in so many ways. Shriya Patir Yagya Pati Prajapati Diyam Patir Lokapatir Darapati Patir Gatishchandaka Vishni Satpatam Prasidatam Me Bhagavan Satam Pati. The Prajapati is Lord Vishnu, and He is the Lord of all living creatures, all planets, all beauties, and the protector of everyone. The Lord created this material world to enable the conditioned souls to learn how to perform yajñas, sacrifices, for the satisfaction of Vishnu, so that while in the material world they can live very comfortably without anxiety, and after finishing the present material body, they can enter into the kingdom of God. That is the whole program for the conditioned soul. By performance of yajna, the conditioned souls gradually become Krishna conscious and become godly in all respects. In the age of Kali, the present age, the Sankirtan Yajna, the chanting of the names of God, is recommended by the Vedic scriptures. And this transcendental system was introduced by Lord Chaitanya for the deliverance of all men in this age. Sankirtan Yajna and Krishna consciousness go well together. Lord Krishna, in his devotional form as Lord Chaitanya, is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32 as follows, with special reference to the Sankirtan Yajna. Krishna Varnam Twisa Krishnam Sangopanga Straparshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedasaha. In this age of Kali, people who are endowed with sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord, who is accompanied by his associates, by performance of Sankirtan Yajna. Other yajnas prescribed in the Vedic literatures are not easy to perform in this age of Kali. But the Sankirtan Yajna is easy and sublime for all purposes, as recommended in the Bhagavad Gita also, 9.14. Translation again. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, "Be thou happy by this yajna, sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation." So, we living entities have forgotten our eternal relationship with God or Krishna, and thus we have fallen into the material world and are suffering the pangs of material existence. The Bhagavad Gita says that one should always be conscious of the miseries of material existence. Janma Mritu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Dosha Anudarshanam. There are four miserable conditions that are unavoidable within the material world. Birth, disease, old age, and death. And apart from those, there are so many miseries that we endure at every moment. And these miseries have fallen upon us or come upon us because we have forgotten our relationship with God. And no matter what material means we adopt to try to counteract the miseries, we cannot be successful. Birth. There are so many miseries that the living entity suffers within the womb that are described in the scripture. And we can just imagine for ourselves, if we had to sit in that position, cramped in a tight space, surrounded by different fluids and gases, and it's a horrible situation. So the miseries of the unborn child are described vividly in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then disease, we all know how much we suffer when we are sick. And whatever we're suffering now gets worse as we grow older. Many of us who first came to Srila Prabhupada in our youth, in the 1960s or 70s, are now in our 60s and 70s. And growing old is not fun. One of my godbrothers, a wonderful devotee named Bhrigupati Das, who distributes books in Los Angeles, gave a class when I was there, in which he mentioned Srila Prabhupada's coming to America at the age of 69. Srila Prabhupada was a sannyasi, a traditional mendicant in India, and he received the order from his spiritual master to present the message of Godhead, the message of Krishna, in the English language to people throughout the world. And in pursuance of the order from his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada decided to come to the United States, to New York City. And he approached Srimati Sumati Morarji, who owned this India Steam Navigation Company, for free passage. And eventually she agreed to give him passage on one of her cargo ships. So her secretary, Mr. Choksi, joked with Srila Prabhupada that, why are you going to America at this advanced age? Almost 70. You should retire to some holy place like Vrindavan or Jagannath Puri. Why are you going to America? I know you want to enjoy. You want to see the sights, just like everyone else. And Srila Prabhupada replied, this body is finished. What have I to enjoy? So that was true. Srila Prabhupada certainly did not come to America to enjoy and see the sights. But he knew that there was a generation of young people who were confused and frustrated in life, and he wanted to give them guidance so that they could realize their full potential and become happy in life. But that statement, this body is finished, what have I to enjoy? That is true for all of us. As the body ages, you really cannot enjoy. Just today I was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada's, and he was making the point that you have to give the food to the stomach. You can't put the food in the eyes or the ears or the nostrils. You can't try to absorb the food directly through your fingers. You have to feed the stomach. The stomach is the central point, and from the stomach, all of the nutrition is distributed through the body. So in the same way, we have to render service to Krishna. We have to sacrifice for Krishna. And the service is distributed to all the different living entities and demigods by offering to Krishna. Krishna is the central point. And then as an aside, Prabhupada just mentioned, anyway, I'm an old man, and when you get old, you can't digest very well. Just mentioned it in the course of making the philosophical point about the stomach being the central point of the body, just like Krishna is the central point of all existence. So you really can't enjoy much when you get old. Afterwards, I approached Bhrigupati Prabhu about the class, and he spoke a little more, and he quoted Betty Davis, who was an American screen actress, as saying, "Old age is not for sissies." In other words, you have to be pretty strong to face old age because it's not fun. And then death. Every living entity by nature is eternal. Just as Krishna is eternal, as God is eternal, the living entity is also eternal. And because we are eternal, we don't want to die. Because the soul is eternal, he doesn't want to die. And the same soul, the same quality of spiritual energy exists in every species of life. There are millions of different species of life. There are plants, fish, amphibians, reptiles, birds, mammals. But whatever the species, there's a soul inside of the body. And it is the soul that gives life to the body. And even a little ant, if you put your finger or a stick, the ant will try to go around it. The ant doesn't want to die. No living entity wants to die because the soul within the different bodies is eternal by nature. So human beings, for thousands of years, practically from the beginning of time, have tried to devise means of avoiding death, but they have been unsuccessful because Janma Mritu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Dosha Anudarshanam. These miseries cannot be avoided. We try to counteract them by material means, but we cannot do so. The only way to avoid the miseries of material existence is to be liberated from the cycle of birth and death. And according to this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has given us sacrifices that will enable us to live happily and prosper in the material world. It doesn't mean we won't get disease or grow old or die, but relatively speaking, we will prosper and we will be happy. And even more important, at the end of life, we will be liberated from the cycle of birth and death and go back to our original home with Krishna, or God. So that is the whole program for the human being. And the performance of sacrifice can be fulfilled in the present age, not by the Vedic rituals mentioned for earlier ages, but in the present age it can be accomplished by performance of Sankirtan Yajna, by the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Of course, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is recommended specifically in the Vedas, the Kali Santara Upanishad, and in other scriptures. But any name of God mentioned in any scripture of the world can be chanted. There are traditions there are Christian traditions in which devotees or practitioners chant the name of Jesus. They repeat the name of Jesus. And similarly, there are statements in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Muslim scriptures, all recommending singing or chanting the name of God. But these 16 words of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra are especially recommended. And therefore, if one is not chanting any other name of God, he or she can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And that chanting will cleanse all the dirty things from the heart that make us attached to the material world and fill us with transcendental bliss. We have been chanting, some of us, for more than 40 years. And if we were not experiencing happiness from the chanting, why would we continue to chant? And in fact, the happiness that we experience from chanting and from Krishna consciousness is so great that any other happiness pales in comparison. And therefore, we lose interest in things that interest ordinary people. In the beginning, one might have to make a little effort to restrain one's senses because one may have bad habits for taking intoxicants or eating flesh or whatever. But as one actually relishes the sweet taste of Krishna consciousness, one loses the taste for dead material things. And therefore, one just wants to chant more and more. One feels that 24 hours in a day is not enough. That one tongue and two ears is not enough. One great devotee, Srila Rupa Goswami, prayed that, what can I chant with one tongue and two ears? If I had millions of tongues and billions of ears, then I could begin to chant. So much relish, so much taste. So that stage comes by practice. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. It's just a matter of practice. To be successful at anything requires practice. People practice playing the piano. People practice rolling chapatis and making chapatis. People practice taking their exams for university. People practice driving so they can get their driver's license. Everything requires practice. But the benefit we derive from material efforts is limited and temporary, whereas the benefit we get from Krishna consciousness or God consciousness is unlimited and eternal. And it's not that you have to wait until you're completely perfect in Krishna consciousness to feel the results. You begin to feel the results from the very moment you begin with sincerity. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we have a few minutes left. Would any of you like to ask any questions or make any comments? Yes, Ram.
Do we really enjoy our body? Body can really enjoy, or it's not possible for a body to enjoy?
Well, the body is made of senses, but basically the body is just a machine. It's really the soul that has consciousness. The soul is located in the region of the heart, but the consciousness spreads throughout the body. Just like the sun is located in a particular place in the sky or in the solar system. But the sunshine pervades. So as long as there is consciousness in the body, or in other words, as long as the soul is in the body, we experience pleasures and pains in the body. But basically, the soul is meant to enjoy pleasure in the spiritual atmosphere with Krishna in relation to the Supreme Soul. The soul cannot really enjoy much through the physical body. The physical body is more for pain. One Indian philosopher gave the example of the finger. Take your finger. Now, how many ways can your finger enjoy? Not much you can do with the finger to enjoy. But how many ways can the finger suffer? Oh, there's a lot of ways. You know, it can be burned, it can be cut, it can be crushed, it can become too cold. So by this analysis, and the same would apply, you know, to the body in general, the body is really meant for pain, because there are so many ways that the finger can suffer, but there are very few ways that we can experience pleasure through the senses. But even the pleasure that we do experience through the senses is temporary. The body itself is temporary, and it's limited. When you're hungry, food tastes very good, but as you become more full, the same pleasure you were getting out of eating decreases. And then in the end, you don't even want to eat anymore. The first taste of the food was so good, but after eating for 15 or 20 minutes, when you become satiated, that same food, you can't eat anymore. So that's just the way the body is. That's the way material pleasure is. There is some sort of pleasure, but it's very limited and temporary. And it's mixed with a lot of pain. So it's not a good deal. And Srila Prabhupada said, with reference to the body, we should make the best use of a bad bargain. It's a bad bargain, but should make the best use of it, which is to become Krishna conscious. That is the real utility of the human body. And then we get free from the repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease, and we can really enjoy eternally with Krishna, with God. Are there any other questions or comments?
When I say living beings, that means the human beings, tiger, lion, crocodile, snake, all these are called the living beings. When the living beings will disappear, that means when they will encounter death, how to know that if somebody is a human being, when that human being encounters death, when that guy will come back to the world again, how to know whether he will come back as a human being or a monkey or a snake or a gorilla or a crocodile?
Yes. In the lower species of life, one progresses gradually to the next species, and then finally to the human form of life. In the human form of life, you have added intelligence that the lower species do not have. And with the extra intelligence, you also have more freedom and more responsibility. For example, a tiger is carnivorous. Tiger will eat meat. It's not a sin for a tiger to eat meat, because that is the way that the tiger lives, according to nature. An elephant is vegetarian. It's not a virtue for an elephant to be a vegetarian. It's just the way the elephant body is made, that he lives by eating vegetable foods. So in the lower species of life, there's no pap or punya. There's no sinful activity or pious activity. All of our karma is earned in the human form of life, both sinful reactions and pious reactions. And in the lower species of life, the living entities are just using up their karma, those who have gone down. And when a human being is pious, not God conscious, not perfect in Krishna consciousness, but just pious in a material way, then he goes to a higher planet, say like a heavenly planet. But there too, there's no karma. He's using up his pious credits. It's just like, you know, someone saves money in the bank and then he decides to go on a holiday. So he goes to a beautiful paradise, some Caribbean island or the island of Fiji or some island paradise. But he's just spending the money that he's saved up. And when the money runs out, he can't stay any longer. So it's like that. We amass some pious credits. We go to a heavenly planet. But while we're there, we're using up our pious credits, and then we have to come back to Earth. And similarly, if we've been very sinful and go into a lower species of life, it's like a prison term. You have to pass so many days in a particular lower species of life, but you're using up your time. You're using up the time of your sentence, and when your time is over, you go to the next higher species. So there's no karma in the lower species or in the higher strata of life, but in the human form of life, one can engage in pious activities, karma, and come back as a human being or be promoted in the material world, or one can engage in vikarma, which are prohibited activities, and then one is punished and may go to a lower species, or one can engage in akarma. That means acts of pure devotion to God. And the result of akarma, or pure devotional service, or bhakti, is that one is liberated from material existence altogether and returns to the spiritual kingdom of God, where there's no birth, disease, old age, or death. So that is the real purpose of the human form of life, to engage in bhakti yoga and put an end to this cycle of up and down, up and down, up and down in the material world. Does that answer your question?
Or he will come back to a different life, like a monkey or a gorilla or a snake, like that. So do you think, is it possible for him to get to know is going to come back? Is it possible for him to know in advance?
No. Where we take our next birth does not depend on us. It depends on higher authorities. They will calculate all of our pious and sinful activities, and they will award us the body that gives us just the right amount of enjoyment and the right amount of suffering. And you have no control. You have no control. And what you think of at the time of death, that will determine your next life. Any type of bodily identification is very risky. You know, you might be, say, an Indian, a Hindu, and hate the Muslims from Pakistan. But if by chance, in your next life, you might take birth as a Muslim in Pakistan and hate the Hindus in India. So what is the meaning of all this bodily identification and nationalism? It's all useless. We should identify ourselves only as eternal servants of Krishna. Any other self-conception or identification is illusion, maya, and it will just keep us in the material world. People who are very fond of killing animals and eating flesh, they will have to take birth as an animal. And so someone will kill them and eat their flesh. That's just the law of nature, law of action and reaction. There's no escape other than Krishna consciousness, God consciousness, bhakti yoga. Any other questions or comments? Yes, sir. What is your good name?
Yes. Trivikram is my name.
Trivikram,
yes. I know that I read there are 8,400,000 species of life, and 400,000 of those are human species. And you mentioned that there's no karma in the heavenly planets and in the lower planets, but there is on Earth for humans. So I guess since there are 400,000 species of human beings, like we're one species, the demigods are a higher form of human species, and monkeys are a lower form of human species. You mentioned that in the heavenly planets there's no karma, so I guess the concept of karma applies to a certain middle level of human species, is that right?
Yeah, it refers to the human beings on Earth.
Okay.
But wherever you are in the human species, you can become Krishna conscious. I mean, you may be enjoying on a tropical island and using up your life savings. And when you can't afford to stay there anymore, you have to come back. But on the tropical island, you could meet devotees and become Krishna conscious. Then everything changes. Then you don't have to come back. Or you could be serving a term in prison and meet devotees and take up the process of bhakti yoga. Then your life changes. And you're not even in prison anymore. You're in Krishna.
Now, Earth being a middle planet, are there other planets at the same relative level where there are human beings in which the concept of karma applies? Or is this the only planet where the concept of karma applies to human beings?
Why are you asking this question?
Just out of curiosity. Because, well, I guess it's kind of hard for me to believe that, you know, I've read from the scriptures that there are billions and billions of other planets where there are other human beings and so forth. So when you mentioned that, well, I'm getting the impression that you're saying that Earth is the only planet where human beings are affected by the laws of karma, but it seems like I've read otherwise. That's the reason why I'm asking.
All right. So I've repeated what I've heard and read. So are you questioning whether I'm repeating an authority properly, or are you questioning the authority that I'm quoting?
Well, I'm not questioning anything of that, but I've read there are billions and billions of other planets like Earth. Is that correct?
All right, look.
Did I misinterpret?
What's it to you whether there's karma on other planets that are similar to Earth, but not exactly the same Earth where we live? What's it to you? It's nothing to you. There's a deeper issue that's at stake here, and I want to know what the deeper issue is. What could it matter to you? I want to know what does matter to you.
I'm just curious, that's all.
Okay. Well, I've answered according to the information I have, and I can't say more than that.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Any other? Okay, last.
You mentioned earlier that the human life form is the only form where we can earn good or bad credits. I wonder why, when someone is reborn as a human and a soul enters the baby, why is he or she not made aware of the fact that that he or she has to earn good credits? Why is the soul so memoryless?
You know, we have to start with the basic point, which is that we have turned away from God. Once we turn away from God, we come in the grips of Maya, and we are punished. Now, instead of asking why are we punished for turning away from God, I mean, yes, of course you're punished for turning away from God. You should rather ask, how can I rectify myself so that I don't have to suffer the punishment? That's part of the punishment. You are born in ignorance. The Bhagavad Gita says it. Everyone is born in ignorance. But the Lord does not forsake us. He gives us good instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, and he sends his representatives and servants to give us knowledge. So we might complain, oh, why were we born in ignorance? Well, all right, you were. Why do you remain in ignorance? Whether you were born in ignorance or not, you have no control over that. And the fact is, we're all born in ignorance. But we don't have to remain in ignorance. So instead of asking, why was I born in ignorance, why not ask, how can I get knowledge so I don't remain in ignorance? That would be more beneficial. You understand? It's just like saying, why was I born naked? Well, all right, you were born naked, but you don't remain naked. You put on clothes. So it's the same thing. Why was I born in ignorance? All right, well, you were born in ignorance, but you don't remain in ignorance. You get knowledge. Thank you very much. So, if we had longer, I would have had time to tell some of my more personal experiences, because yes, the philosophy is very strong, it's very powerful. But apart from the philosophy, one also wants to see if it works. I mean, it's natural. Everyone will want to test. Like in school, you have your class in science or whatever, chemistry or something. Then you go into the laboratory and mix the chemicals. So the Krishna consciousness movement is both. It's the classroom in which we learn the science of bhakti yoga, the science of how to revive our eternal relationship with God. And it's also the laboratory in which we apply what we have learned and see the results. So, over the years, we have so many experiences that confirm and reconfirm the truth of Krishna consciousness and the worthiness of the practice. And those stories are worth sharing, because one gets an idea of how an individual soul born in the material world in ignorance can begin to find his way out of this darkness by the light of Vedic knowledge and by the light of the knowledge received from the spiritual master and saintly teachers. When I was quite new to the movement, I joined the temple in Boston, where Satsarupa was the temple president, and he was also the editor of Back to Godhead magazine. So he encouraged us to write articles for Back to Godhead magazine. So I wrote one on the subject of guru. And the production schedule was such that it took some months between the time I submitted the article and the time it was actually published. And by then, I had left the United States. I was one of a small group of disciples who accompanied Srila Prabhupada in India to establish the mission in India. And while we were in Gorakhpur, the Back to Godhead magazine in which I had written the article arrived it was sent to Srila Prabhupada, and he saw my article. So he asked to meet me. Not asked to meet me, he called for me, and I was delighted to go. And, you know, he said, I've seen your article. It is very nice. You should write. And that was one of the first direct instructions I ever got from Srila Prabhupada. You should write. He said, writing should be your main business. So for many years, you know, I first traveled with Srila Prabhupada in India, and then on his order, I made my base in Bombay and Juhu, and we developed the Juhu project. And then, you know, sort of maintaining the Juhu project and at the same time traveling to different places, it was hard to really find time to write. I did write some articles for Back to Godhead magazine, but nothing more than that. But then finally, some years ago, circumstances were such that I reduced my traveling and made my base in Santa Barbara, California. And then I was able to apply myself more seriously to Srila Prabhupada's instruction to write. And so the first result was this book called Watering the Seed. The idea is that Srila Prabhupada, it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij, that one gets the seed of devotional service or bhakti by the grace of Guru and Krishna. But then after getting the seed, one is advised to become a gardener and plant it and water it. And the process of watering is hearing and speaking about Krishna. So the idea of the title is that we received the seed of bhakti from Srila Prabhupada by the grace of Krishna. And since then, we have tried to water it by hearing from him, reading his books, hearing from him, and then repeating what we have heard from him. So this book first came out some years ago. I wasn't in England at the time, but Tamal Krishna Goswami was there at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and one of my disciples in England presented him a copy. There's some nice photographs of him looking at the book. And this is what he said. Now, I was a little shy about the whole thing, and before I came into the temple room, I phoned my dear friend, His Holiness Ratutvaja Swami, and told him that I felt quite shy about the whole event. And he quoted Srila Prabhupada, "Never be bashful in business or in eating." So I'm trying to follow Srila Prabhupada's instruction that was presented to me by my dear godbrother, Ratutvaja Swami. I might also add that a major inspiration in recent years has been His Holiness Indradumya Swami. He's always insisted that your main contribution is writing. Other things will come and go, but writing will remain. So, a little before beginning on this tour, I don't remember if I phoned him or he phoned me, but anyway, we spoke on the phone, and I said, you know, I mean, I've done this, but I really wonder. I mean, we have Srila Prabhupada's books, and, you know, Srila Prabhupada's books are so perfect and complete and powerful. And I'm really wondering, what is the value of this? And he made a few points. The first point he made was that Srila Prabhupada instructed you to write. So do you think his intention was that you should write and then put the pages away in the drawer of the desk and leave them there? Or did he expect that you would write and what you wrote would be published and people would read it? Then the next point he made was that the subject of your book is Srila Prabhupada and his teachings. So by reading your books, people will get the same teachings and learn more about Srila Prabhupada. And then the third point is that having done so, their appreciation of and interest in Srila Prabhupada will increase, and they will become more eager to read Srila Prabhupada's books. So he said, you know, don't even entertain such thoughts. So, and anyway, trying not to be bashful, when Tamal Krishna Goswami was given the first edition and he was paging through it, he saw the pictures and read some of the articles. There was quite a big piece about him. And he said, oh, I'm in here too. Anyway, this is what he said. Get the association of Giriraj Swami. Soft heart, very soft heart, and good brain. Good combination. That's why Srila Prabhupada liked him so much. So, I mean, I'm not really worthy of those words, but his magnanimity, he did utter them. So I do feel it's appropriate that this book should be made available for the first time here in Dallas, which was his headquarters. Is that another problem? Do you want to say anything?
Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So I'm happy to be back again home. Went out to India and spent a very nice amount of time with the many of the leaders there, the UDC meetings, and fortunately got a chance also to go to Vrindavan for 3 days. So spent all 3 days in Srila Prabhupada Samadhi, chanting every day there, getting inspiration from Srila Prabhupada so that we can push forward this mission in the United States. Maharaj is the senior most devotee in our movement, and disciple of Srila Prabhupada. We're very fortunate to have him with us. Actually, sometimes one doesn't appreciate the presence of a great saintly person until the person has left the mortal world. And that's very unfortunate. For those of us who have a little bit of intelligence, it's better to take advantage of a person when they're present so that we can learn from them and make the maximum progress we can in our Krishna consciousness. Maharaj had personal association with Srila Prabhupada. And most of us here don't have a clue what that really means, honestly speaking. And you really have to preach
in Krishna consciousness and take part in this movement in a very committed way to understand how momentous this movement is. This is the most powerful movement in creation. This trip to India helped me understand this point really nicely. Seeing what is happening, I mean, just a small example, the Delhi temple has got 32 centers now developing in Delhi. They can't fit devotees in their temples. They're building more and more centers, and they can't fit those in those centers. They have to build more centers. It's amazing. And on the day of Lord Nityananda's appearance, it happened that I was passing through Delhi, and because my name is Nityananda Das, they asked me to inaugurate the newest center, the Najafgarh Center in New Delhi. And 5 minutes before the program, they told me you have to speak in Hindi. And I said, oh my God, all my lectures I've given in English. 10 years ago, I gave some lectures in Hindi. So I thought to myself, I have to really pray to Lord Nityananda to inspire me so I can speak in Hindi. And I spoke in Hindi. We had a nice class. But you know, the number of people who respond as a result of what's happening is just amazing, what's happening. One of the persons who responded, she wanted to preach because she felt this is very good. I should also preach. 2 weeks later, at Srila Gurudev's disappearance festival, I was going to ask to speak in New Delhi. She met me and she said, after you spoke and I started preaching, I now have 350 people in my group that I'm preaching to in 2 weeks.
Hi, very well.
That tells us the power of this movement. What Srila Prabhupada has done is so incredible, we can't even scratch the surface of the glories of Srila Prabhupada's preaching that happened on this planet, and how this whole world, nay, I would say all the three worlds, will be saved as a result of his coming and preaching. And Maharaj had so much intimate association with Srila Prabhupada. You may as well say that you're directly associating with Srila Prabhupada when you're associating with Maharaj. You get direct benefit at that level. And in fact, you get more because now you get the combined mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Maharaj also. So here, this is actually a most important event. If I'm not right, Maharaj, when this book has come out, what the new edition, is this the first place you're actually doing this program?
Yeah.
This is the first place. Dallas is actually the first place where this book is being inaugurated. How fortunate are we, you know, that we get to do that? This is the new edition. For some of us who had the first edition, we may think, well, I already have the first edition. Why would I need the second edition? Well, the second edition has 35% more content. So it's pretty much half an additional book in writing form, and has twice as many color photos in it. The color plates that you will see. This book, actually, the proceeds of this book goes towards great causes like the Govardhan Project. How many of you know the Govardhan Project at all? Our Govardhan Project. Okay, very few of us. It's a very important project that's happened there, and very great studies are going on there. And now we're learning, we're teaching Sanskrit and subject matters that have to do with Vedic writings, etc. These are very foundational things for the spreading of Srila Prabhupada's mission and the glories of Sri Krishna all over the world. Very, very important events happening there. Maharaj supports that project. He actually is the founder of that project. And so the funds go towards that and towards a new hospice that has now started in Vrindavan. It's a very, very important program. This is where devotees are taken care of. Krishna says that one who thinks that he is my devotee is not my devotee, but one who is the devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. So serving devotees is even more important than serving Krishna. Maharaj understands this principle and has followed through with a very important project, taking care of devotees who are leaving their bodies in difficult circumstances. So these are not easy situations to deal with, but Maharaj is actually supporting that. And of course, the funds also go towards the new book. This is a very, very important new book that's coming out after this, called Many Moons, in which Maharaj actually speaks about 9 exalted followers of Srila Prabhupada. 6 of them, all 9 of them have left their bodies. Just to give us an example that if we follow this process, what is possible if we follow this process? these nine devotees, Jayananda Prabhu, we know, some of us know these names, Jayananda Prabhu, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Sridhar Swami Maharaj, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, Bhakti Sarup Maharaj, and some of their followers, Archavigraha Devi Dasi, Abhiram Thakur, and Mother Kirtida, who was here right in Dallas. So please take advantage of this situation. Maharaj is going to personally autograph the books that anybody takes. Take advantage of this program and get a book for yourself. Do yourself the greatest honor and benefit that you can. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Giriraj Swami Maharaj ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nitai Gaura Premanande.